And good Saturday morning to you, everybody. I'm Dan Swainy, and this is the Business Newsmakers segment. And today I have the joy of talking to Dr. Mike Milligan and his daughter, Marissa. They are the folks that take care of your teeth and other things that go on in your mouth at the Eastland Dental Center. Ladies and gentlemen, good to have you here with us this morning.
Dan, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Good to be here, Dan.
Yeah. Well, let's just start talking about a little bit of a background. Mike, you've been in the community, it seems like, for a long, long time. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was raised here and graduated U-High in Normal, then the University of Houston, Texas, and then from Southern Illinois University Dental School. I've played a lot of golf, actually won 137 golf tournaments. It's amazing to even consider that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But in dentistry, I was past president of the McLean County Dental Society. I'm the immediate past president of a national organization, the American Academy for Oral Systemic Health. And I'm a fellow on the advisory faculty of the International Academy for Breathing and Health. So, yes, I've been around a long time. I love what I do. I want to do this as long as I can. I've got my three daughters in my dental office. Marissa is a dentist, and my other two daughters, Lindsay and Chrissy, are at the front desk. We've got a family practice. We're not one of those corporate models, you know. We just try to take the best care we can of our patients and enjoy what we're doing.
Now, how long have you been a dentist here in the Twin Cities?
Graduated dental school in 1978.
Okay.
So whatever that count, whatever that is.
But almost 38 years.
Yeah, 38 years. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Marissa, tell us a little bit about you. Like your dad, and I don't want to beat the golf thing to death, but like your dad, you're a pretty good golfer.
I'm trying to get back into it a little bit, but dental school took up a lot of my time, didn't get to play for a couple years there, but yeah, played in college, and it's been fun, and Dad and I still like to play together a lot, too.
Yeah, so. Tell us about your background.
Sure. Born and raised here in Bloomington Normal area, also went to U-High, then went on to Auburn University, transferred back to ISU, finished up there, played golf at both schools, then went on to Midwestern University Dental School up near the Chicago area, and since then, I've been, you know, continuing to learn a lot in different realms of the dental field, not only from Dad, but taking a lot of continuing education since graduating in May of 2015. Just loving it, and it's great to be back with Dad.
How is it working with each other? I think it would be awfully cool to do that.
It is. We have fun with it, and it's great to have two sets of minds on each case, you know. Coming from someone who just recently graduated school and then someone who has so much history. I mean, we have just really good perspectives on each case, and you're getting two viewpoints on it. So it's going really well, and, we even hang out together on the weekends, too. We see each other every day during the week, and then we play golf on the weekends.
That's great. Yeah. Mike, how about bringing your daughter into the practice? What was that like?
It's just incredible, and she's doing so well. She was right near the top of her class in dental school. I won several awards. And she's just learning how to take care of the patients so well. Love it. Absolutely love it.
You guys have had patients that range from toddlers mm-hmm. to people who are 100 years old. Maybe you've had them all across the spectrum right now. Yeah. And I'm betting that every one of those people has different needs. But let's focus on a couple here this morning. The first, let's talk about dental implants. That's something that more and more people are going to these days. Marissa, tell us, first of all, what is a dental implant?
Sure. A dental implant, to put it most simply, is like a titanium screw that goes into the bone. And it can not only replace a single tooth, but multiple teeth. It's also commonly used to attach a denture or a partial to make it more retentive, more sturdy, to increase the chewing capability. So, it's one of those things that is a hot topic in dentistry right now. And, each case is obviously on an individual basis, and if anyone would like to get evaluated, we can do that, x-ray and clinically, and see if anyone's a good candidate. So,
how many, is it on the upswing? Is it something that more and more people are needing these days?
Yes, absolutely. It's so important to have a good functioning set of teeth. It's not only for the aesthetics and the looks, but it's important to be able to have functioning teeth. To have a full set of teeth supporting the opposing teeth and that sort of thing, if you have missing spaces, it causes shifting of the teeth and just not as good of quality of life because you don't have that chewing capability. So, it is important to be able to have that functioning of the teeth.
And when you have implants, I'm guessing they're good forever, right? Is that pretty close, or as long as they can be?
Right. Like I said, it's case by case, and a lot of it is based on the bone quality, the overall health of the patient too. I mean, systemically, you have to be healthy and you have to maintain it. It's not just put it in the bone and then you're set. You have to, you know, maintain it with regular cleanings and that sort of thing. So
just like your normal teeth.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Are there people who are not good candidates for implants? I mean, it's not something everybody can get, right?
Right. And that's why I said you have to be evaluated. It's a lot on the quality and quantity of bone, if the bone is dense enough to accept the implant and if you have enough of it. Also space, you know, if you have enough of room opposing it and that sort of thing. So you have to have an x-ray and clinical evaluation. And then, like I said, your health depends upon a lot of the success of it, too. You know, it's a foreign object in the body. Sometimes the body just doesn't accept it. But, you know, we see great success with a lot of the cases. So
they're like 95 to 98%+ successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you put it in, you're pretty darn sure it's going to stay. You make sure that the person's a good candidate before you put it in. You teach them how to take care of it. And they're virtually as successful as normal teeth.
Let me just ask a basic question here, and it might be so simple that I hope you don't laugh at me. What's the difference between why would people get implants versus dentures? What's the difference between the two?
Well, I would say that a lot of it is the retentive capability. You know, dentures, like we said, it replaces a whole set of teeth, but just the retentive component of having it a denture hook onto an implant or multiple implants versus just it sitting on the gums. Natural teeth have about 100% chewing effectiveness. Crowns over implants have also 100% chewing effectiveness, but you know, just dentures with no implants or any type of support from locators or anything have about a 15% chewing effectiveness. So, like I said, there's different options and that sort of thing, and we take it case by case, and we plan for success. So we say what's going to be most successful in this patient's mouth.
Yeah, that's Dr. Marissa Milligan, part of the partnership at the Eastland Dental Center. Her dad's sitting over here, and I'm going to toss the next question at you, Dr. Mike. Boy, everything, it seems like, in your body runs through your mouth at some point or another. Isn't your mouth a first place people should look if they have something going on somewhere in their bodies?
You bet. And the research, there's so much research on this today. And for most people, the largest source of infection in their whole body is their mouth. And you wouldn't think of that because you don't see it, but we see it. We see it every day with bleeding gums or abscessed teeth or something like that. And the bacteria can travel from your mouth through the entire bloodstream to your entire body. And so, you know, it can affect, for instance, I'm good friends with the people at the Heart Attack and Stroke Prevention Center. They're out of Spokane and Nashville. And they teach internationally. They just came out with an article on November 29th in the British Medical Journal that they authored, and it shows that gum disease now is causative of heart attacks and strokes, not just associated, but actually causative. And what they tell us is that if you don't take care of your gums, your chance of a heart attack and stroke goes up significantly.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the first things that they look at in their clinic is the health of the gums and what bacteria are actually in the mouth. We now have tests to tell us exactly what bacteria are in the mouth. And there's about 10 or 12 that we specifically look at. They've got some crazy names, Fusobacterium nucleatum.
Sounds like one that would blow up in a mushroom cloud.
It does. Yes, it does. Porphyromyris gingivitis. But we can test for these now. Just a simple swish and spit test takes about a minute, and we can actually test what bacteria you have in your mouth that can go through your entire body, and we know which ones typically cause most of the problems.
How about that? So you'd be able to do a little bit of looking at other things beyond your teeth and what's in your mouth. How about folks that are pregnant? Those are people that really need to take care of and watch what's going on with
their mouth. Absolutely. I've done video interviews with Dr. Yiping Han out of Case Western University, and she shows that the complications from bacteria in your mouth include preterm birth and low birth weight babies. And if the child has this as a result of these bacteria from their mouth, it alters their life significantly because it alters their growth as a young child, which then affects their entire life. And so there was even a case of fetus death in a patient at 39 weeks.
That's almost full term.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was caused by bacteria from the mouth. And the patient just had a mild case of gingivitis. It wasn't even like a terrible case, but it was the specific bacteria that were involved. You know, one thing that that we see with heart attacks and strokes is an abscess tooth. I mean, we've been talking about gum disease and the bacteria in the gums, but if you have an abscess tooth, 50% plus, over 50% of heart attacks are triggered by a dental infection. Now, I'm not saying the long-term cause, but the trigger that causes the heart attack. A dental infection. So, again, they get real aggressive on looking at dental infections when you talk about these systemic diseases.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Diabetes is obvious. That's a pretty obvious one. I am diabetic, and so I fully understand what you're talking about here. But, boy, more and more people with diabetes need to take care of and watch what's going on in your mouth.
There's an epidemic of diabetes. It's just on the you look at the maps of obesity across the country and the way that's increasing. But just also lifestyle, the sedentary lifestyle that we live, the foods that we eat, things of that nature, no exercise. So there's an epidemic of diabetes. And it's a vicious cycle in the mouth because problems in the mouth make diabetes worse, and diabetes makes the problems in your mouth worse. So it's just a vicious cycle. So it's really important to go in there and block that, stop that vicious cycle by getting your mouth healthy.
Also, Alzheimer's and dementia. This is a real surprise to me. I had no idea that there was a connection there.
A very serious connection. I did a video interview with Dr. Judith McClossy. She's the director of the International Alzheimer's Research Center in Switzerland. And she was hard to understand. I actually had to transcribe the whole video and put the transcription on the website. But without a doubt, there's 6 spirochetes, that's a type of bacteria, that go directly from the mouth to the brain and cause Alzheimer's and dementia. And she said you absolutely must get your mouth healthy in order to prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. Now, there's other causes, obviously, but that's a significant cause. And she was very definite about that.
No, I'll bet this is the first time most of the people listening today have ever heard that. That's just wow. A couple of final things here.
Well, a lot of dentists don't know that either, and healthcare providers, physicians, they don't know this, but the research is there. And again, I'm very active and involved in how the mouth affects the rest of the body. And I speak nationally on that and educate healthcare providers on that nationally. They don't know, let alone the public not knowing it, but it's significant.
So what would you suggest folks who are out there listening right now who may have a little sore gum or maybe a little bleeding gum or something like that? What do they need to do, guys?
They need to get to the dentist and get it checked. It's not something that is just local, just a little irritation in your mouth. It's something that can cause a problem throughout your whole body. You know, cancers as well. Respiratory lung problems, even rheumatoid arthritis, are significantly affected by infections in your mouth. And we really appreciate the opportunity to get this word out because, like you said, you didn't know.
I had no idea.
Very few people do. In fact, many of the dentists in this community don't know.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Can we get both of you guys back maybe again later on and we could do a little longer thing because there's so many more things that I'd like to talk to you about. But before we leave, I want to ask you a question about how do parents get their youngsters ready to go to a dentist? Is that something that you can give advice on or tell them how it could be easier?
I would say having them come in at, you know, a pretty early age and just getting that comfort established, whether it's just coming in to have their teeth polished, you know, and just getting acclimated to getting their teeth looked at and evaluated. You know, we typically recommend about age three or four,
age three.
To come in and get your first evaluation. And it's more to just get comfortable. And so that the earlier you get exposed to it, then, you know, they're not afraid. So
sometimes we just have them in for a happy visit. That's come in with mom or dad and just
sit in the chair and
ride up and down and you know, play with the light and the air water syringe.
Yeah,
they can squirt the squirt gun. Sure, Dan, come on in for your happy visit, Dan, and we'll have a good time with it.
Well, here's why I bring that up.
We'll give you a toy as you leave.
Oh,
too.
God bless you. here's why I bring that up is because it seems that the times that I had taken my kids to the dentist for the first time and we had not done any of this, it was like, you know, tie them down to the chair or something because they're scared to death.
Yeah.
And these days it seems like dentists are recognizing that that's a problem and do a happy visit first and get that down there and let them know that the doctors are there to help you. They're not there to hurt you. You know, anybody who's been a parent knows exactly what I'm talking about with
these kids.
Dr. Mike Milligan, daughter Marissa, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to meet you, Marissa. I've known your dad, like I said, for all the time I've lived here in Bloomington. Great guy. And again, I hope to have you guys back in on the show in the afternoon. Our guests on today's Business Newsmakers have been Dr. Marissa Milligan and her father, Dr. Mike Milligan. Guys, thanks for the conversation as always. If you need to know more about dental health and dental care, why don't you give them a call today at 663-4711 or see them online if you'd like to at www.eastlanddental.com. They are the Eastland Dental Center in Bloomington.